Oh, it's another day here at the Comeback Team Studios. And welcome to another episode of Interesting Times with Beck Lover, exclusively here on the Beck Lover Podcast. I gather all the interesting stories, all the crazy news from around the world, or even in your part of the world, I should say. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, and we're going to cover all the crazy stuff that's been going on. I got some really crazy stories to talk about today. I got some really funny stories to talk about today. And I got some really sad stories to talk about today. Besides the fact we might be going into World War III. So make sure you stay tuned here with your guy, your friend, Beck Lover. I'm going to jump right into this. There's so much I need to cover on this episode, and I don't want to waste time yapping for no reason, because people don't like people that yap too much. So here we go, my friends. Interesting times indeed, my friends. It was such a nice couple of days here in New York City. The weather was absolutely amazing yesterday and the day before. We actually hit almost 80 degrees. Yesterday was like 73, 74, not a cloud in the sky, no wind. It was like a beautiful day in New York. And I was out there setting up my new show. I'm launching a comedy show also in a legendary location. So we'll be able to have fun, and I'll have all kinds of comics and famous people coming on that show. By the way, also check out all the episodes I've done already where I've interviewed some of the most amazing people in the world. In any event, the weather took a turn just like this, and it's cold outside and gray and ugly, and it was like we got teased. My last episode, I told you, don't worry. It looks like there's not going to be further escalation with Iran. But yesterday, Israel basically said, no, there's going to be a response. So we're not out of the woods yet for Armageddon, and I'll cover some of that today. World War III. I hope that this does not escalate. If it does, your children might be drafted to go fight in a foreign war for a country that really doesn't impact our lives. Like it shouldn't matter here in America. Like, it really shouldn't. None of these wars have helped us. And are there double standards when it comes to evil acts that are committed by other religions, yet for some reason, Muslims are the only ones that are ever called the T word? And we're going to cover that today, because there was a very notable bishop in Australia that was attacked publicly. It was on TikTok. And right away, they call them the T word. But meanwhile, when these types of acts happen to people of the Muslim faith, it seems like they never call the other religions the T word. You know, what they usually call Muslims starts with a T. Also, I have a just absurd story today. Like, what would you do for a loan? What's the craziest thing you would do for a loan? Not even for money that's being given to you. For a loan. I'm going to cover this story today, and I hope you find it interesting, because I think you will. Make sure you hit that sub button, and let's kind of get into it, because there's a lot, guys and girls. So my first story, I'm going to start with in Australia. Okay. You may have seen this bishop, Sydney Bishop. Can't even talk today, guys. I need to drink some water or something. Reuters reports stabbed Sydney Bishop is a TikTok star beloved by his community. Bishop Mari Emmanuel, who was stabbed during a church service live stream from Sydney on Monday, is a social media star with followers around the world, but the bearded clergyman is also a divisive leader. Dressed in dark robes, clutching a large cross, and sporting a bushy gray beard under a black cowl, Emmanuel's sermons from the Assyrian Christ, the Good Shepherd Church, range from homilies on the Bible to fiery criticisms of the LGBT community. These types of things that we were using during the closing of the world, also against Islam and President Joe Biden. I've seen his work. I've seen several of his videos go viral. You know, there's a lot of things I do agree with him on. There's some things I definitely don't agree with him on. But what I can agree on is that there is no reason for anyone to ever be harmed because of their views, because of their ethnicity, because of their race, because of their religion, because of their sexual preference. This is one thing that I can say publicly. No person has the right to attack, harm, hurt, or try to end the life of anybody. And this is very clear to me in my religion, which I practice, which is Islam, which is Muslim, which very quickly the person supposedly was a Muslim terrorist who wanted to take out the bishop. And I'm glad they apprehended him, and I hope they throw the book at him, because there is no excuse for this. I've worked very hard to try to bridge the gap between the Christian and the Muslim world because of all the hatred, all the Hollywood films, all the media that has created animosity between these two large groups of people that actually have so much in common, it's ridiculous. Like I said, I agree with a lot of what the bishop stands for. When it comes to the nuclear family, when it comes to all types of other stuff, I agree with a lot of what he has to say. I may not agree with his approach, but in any event, I never took offense as a Muslim when he was preaching against the Prophet Muhammad. There's many videos of him talking about the Prophet, peace be upon him, going viral. Never once got offended, never felt the urge to do anything bad to this person. What I have a problem with, though, is why is there a double standard when these same types of acts happen to someone in the Muslim community? The person that's perpetrating the crime is never called a Christian terrorist or a Jewish terrorist, or a Hindu terrorist. You know, for example, like this six-year-old boy who died a few months ago back in October, right when the war was flaring up in the Middle East. His landlord knocked on his door, told him and his mom, oh, you guys are Muslims, and started stabbing them. Clearly a hate crime. Clearly, could have been called a Christian terrorist, right? But the media will never do that. They will never call him a Christian terrorist. That terminology is only reserved for mentally deranged people who happen to have heritage from either the Middle East or Muslim, because even when their hate crime is crystal clear, the media still will never call them a Christian terrorist. And I don't believe a Christian terrorist even exists, or a Muslim terrorist. You cannot be a Christian or a Muslim and commit these types of acts. The word Christian terrorist is a contradiction. The word Muslim terrorist is a contradiction. You cannot be a follower of the Prophet Muhammad and take innocent life. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ and take innocent life. But why is it that that term is only reserved for people in the Muslim world? I'll give you another example. You know, this guy, like I said, took out the six-year-old. How about in New Zealand a few years back, where you had 51 Muslims peacefully praying in New Zealand? They were executed. We all saw those videos where he was pumping their bodies full of bullets. Their bodies were going up and down. And he was greeted with, hello, brother, welcome. And he opened fire on these people. He left a massive manifesto. He was definitely a Christian extremist. It was in his manifesto. He drew crosses on his rifles. He wanted to get rid of the Muslim problem. They never once called him a Christian terrorist. Ever, not once, in such a horrific shooting that has still scarred New Zealand in Christchurch, if you remember. This shooting that happened, took out 51 people, 40 attempted, okay? And this guy was never called that term because only Muslims are terrorists. This piece of shit who did it in the name of Christianity, which, again, as a Muslim, I know that's not what Christianity teaches my Christian brothers and sisters. So why is it so many of you are full of hatred and bigotry, and you've been preconditioned, and you've had double standards against 2 billion people from every Hollywood film for the last 50 years, yet you don't trust the media with anything else, but when it comes to these types of stories, you trust them? You guys are fucking clowns. This is where I disagree with the right. When people go, oh, are you on the right? No, I'm not on the fucking right. I'm not on the left. I'm on what is human morals, decency, and truth. The truth of the matter is, Islamophobia is at an all-time high. 25 years of war and invading countries on false pretenses, like fucking bombing Iraq into smithereens with weapons of mass destruction that never fucking existed, never were found. Millions of Iraqis lost their lives. If that's not terrorism, I don't know what is. But why is it that that term is only used for the Muslim community? When the same types of acts, even worse, this was an attempted stabbing. This guy massacres 51 Muslims, never called a Christian terrorist. This is hypocrisy. This is contradictions. This is Islamophobia. This is manipulation. This is created to create tensions between these communities. And that is what I'm fighting against. We are not enemies. We all supposedly believe in God. The Ten Commandments are crystal clear, even if you're an idiot, because most of you never read your Bible or your Quran. Thou shall not kill, period. Regardless of what comes out of someone's mouth, they can insult your prophet, peace be upon him. God's going to deal with that. That's not your problem to deal with. God's going to take care of Jesus too, I promise you. If someone insults him, okay, you don't have to take that into your hands. But these double standards have gone on for long enough, and I think the world is finally waking up. I know the youth is all around the world, and this conflict in the Middle East has really brought it to the surface, and I want to address it. Enough is enough. Muslims are 2 billion people. They're Asian, they're black, they're white. They come in all shapes and colors. They're not going to blow you up out of your fucking house. Okay? You have rotten apples in every community just like this one. He's no more Christian than Osama bin Laden was a Muslim. Period. So why is it when these mentally ill people do something, they're called mentally ill, or, you know, it's a hate crime, but they refuse to use the same terminology they use for Muslims, supposedly. And again, they're not Muslims. You can't kill innocent people and call yourself a Muslim under any condition. You cannot take your life in Islam under any condition. Even if you're surrounded by the enemy, you will go to hell forever in that religion. People want to misquote bullshit, misquote books, misquote sayings, and they have no idea what they're talking about. And ignorance is the problem, and ignorance is what has always breeded hatred, racism. It's what led to slavery and enslavement. It's these stereotypes that lead to this type of behavior and eventually conflict. That's what we're fighting against. That's what my work is about. Okay? As someone who lost his family, and I've said this on many podcasts, my family was massacred by Orthodox Christians. Like, the bishop is Orthodox, right? They were massacred by Orthodox Serbian soldiers. There's videos of these soldiers being blessed by Orthodox monks before they went into Kosovo, before they went into Bosnia, and massacred hundreds of thousands of people. I never once called them Christian terrorists. I never once blamed Christianity. I never once blamed the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Holy Bible. Not once. I just wish I could get the same respect for my faith. Because I know Christianity doesn't teach you to line up men and unarmed men and boys and massacre them. I know Christianity doesn't teach that. So does that mean that what they did was Christian terrorism? My point is, if you're going to use the terminology for one religion, use it for all of them. Be fair. That's all. Moving on now. This is a freaking bizarre story. This woman in Brazil, reported by the New York Post, brazenly wheels elderly man's corpse into a bank to co-sign a loan for her. Uncle, are you listening? Her uncle's dead. She wants a loan so bad before they figure it out, she wheels his dead body into the bank. Okay? You can't make this up. This is video footage from the bank of her grabbing her dead uncle's hand, okay, and making him sign to take out a loan. My man's dead. Now, I'm sure he doesn't mind. And to be honest with you, I just wonder how desperate she was. Like, before we judge these people, man, I know it's crazy and it's kind of funny and it's silly, but you must be pretty desperate to do something like that. Or you just have no character, no morals. Now, she doesn't really, really need the money. You know, and there's a lot of people that are poor in Brazil. So, like, we can't judge her, man. But it's just crazy, you know? So, for $3,400, it's a lot of money in Brazil, she wheels in her dead uncle. You can't make this stuff up. Says here that a Brazilian woman reportedly wheeled the corpse of an elderly man into Rio de Janeiro bank Tuesday to try to get him to co-sign on a loan. Technically, he wasn't co-signing because she was co-signing with his co-signing because she had to grab. It was like Weekend at Bernie's at the bank. Literally. She literally, this was like a Brazilian Weekend at Bernie's. She literally had to grab his hand and make it look like he was co-signing. She was co-signing her own co-sign. The poor bastard, they won't even let him go. The wild footage, which first aired by TV Global, Brazil's largest broadcaster, captured Nunes talking to the dead man, whom she addressed as her uncle, and asking him to sign financial documents that would allow her to take out $3,400 loan. Uncle, are you listening? You need to sign the loan contract. If you don't sign, there's no way, because I can't sign for you. Wow. Again, I don't want to judge her. We don't know what she's going through in her personal life, but that's just crazy. Reuters reports, Qatar says Gaza ceasefire talks at delicate phase. Qatari Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani. Yo, I love you guys in the Middle East, man, but you got to make these names a little easier. I thought my name, Albanian name, was hard. Man, you guys got some names, man. And if you don't even know how to pronounce like Arabic words, I kind of do a little bit because I can pray in Arabic a little bit, but you guys got to work on these names a little bit, man. It's too long. Said on Wednesday, talks on Gaza ceasefire and release of hostages are at a delicate phase. We are trying as much as possible to address this stumbling block. Qatar's premier condemned what he described as the policy of collective punishment, still followed by Israel in its war against the enclave's ruling Palestinian Islamist group Hamas and the latest escalation in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. So, no peace in sight in that conflict. The Times of Israel reports, after meeting Herzog, UK's Cameron says it's clear Israel will respond to Iran's attack. British FM hopes retaliation will not further escalate tensions, calls for G7 countries to sanction Iran. Visiting German FM says all parties must act prudently and responsibly. It's clear that the Israelis are making a decision to act, Cameron said. Now, I want to remind you, Israel struck a sovereign embassy in a sovereign nation of Syria. So Israel is not responding. Israel acted first, took out some of their government officials, hit their embassy in another nation, and Iran responded, because that's an act of war. And now Israel wants to counter-respond. So sometimes these headlines make it look like they didn't. No, Israel hit them, and now they're hitting them, and now they want to hit them back, just to give you the timeline there. All of us don't want this thing to escalate. I don't want American boots and American lives at risk. We fought enough wars over the last 25 years that have benefited us. Now, we are in debt to our eyeballs. We give billions of dollars to Israel anyway. What do they need us for? Like, enough's enough already. CNN reports at least 13 killed, including 7 children, after strike on Gaza's Al-Maghazi refugee camp. At least 13 people were killed, including 7 children, and more than 25 injured after a strike targeted a refugee camp in central Gaza, according to the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital officials. Graphic video obtained by CNN from eyewitnesses shows several casualties scattered on the floor, and yet another strike, and more than half are children. They've reached almost 20,000, up to some estimates of 20,000 children that have died as a result of Israel's response to October 7th. Now, Israel reporting, Jerusalem Post, 14 IDF soldiers, 4 civilians wounded by Hezbollah drones. Okay, Hezbollah's in Lebanon. The village is less than 3 kilometers from the Lebanese village from which the anti-tank missiles and drones were launched, likely part of why most of the attacks got past Israel's warning systems, as well as its air defense systems, through the IDF was still probing the issue. So they have some wounded. Speaker Johnson is moving forward with foreign aid bills despite the threat to oust him, NPR reports. Is moving forward with a plan to vote on separate bills to provide assistance to Ukraine, because they need more, trillions and trillions of dollars. Israel and U.S. allies in the Indo-Pacific, despite growing criticism from within his conference and the looming threat of being ousted from his post. The plan is to introduce the 3 individual foreign aid bills, a 4th bill placing sanctions on Russia, China, and Iran, and a 5th bill including border security measures, Johnson said in a message to House Republicans Wednesday. You know, these sanctions are becoming weaker and weaker from us because we don't make anything anymore. Most of the stuff's made in countries that are friendly to Russia, so how much are those sanctions really going to hurt them? Everything's made in China. The UAE had some interesting weather over the weekend. Cleanup begins after at least 1 dead in heavy UAE rains. As you can see here, there was videos. They can't handle that type of rainfall. The airport, actually, there was videos of like private, airplanes taking off. But the country is completely flooded and a lot of damage there. So Speedy Recovery, UAE. UK lawmakers back landmark bill to gradually phase out smoking for good. The British government's plan for a landmark smoking ban that aims to stop young people from ever smoking cleared its first hurdle in Parliament on Tuesday, despite vocal opposition from within Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's Conservative Party. The bill, a key policy announced by Sunak last year, would make it illegal to sell tobacco products to anyone born after January 1st, 2009. If passed, the bill will give Britain some of the toughest anti-smoking measures in the world. Authorities say it will create modern Britain's first smoke-free generation. Under the tobacco and vape bills, children turning 15 this year or younger will never be legally sold tobacco. Once implemented, officials are aiming for 2027. The legal age of sale that people in England can buy cigarettes will be raised by 1 year every year until it's eventually illegal for the whole population. All right, so they're going for the gusto here. You want to smoke a Churchill cigar? You want to smoke a cigarette or a vape? They're telling you in the UK pretty much, game over soon. I wonder what that's going to do to Philip Morris stock and tobacco stocks if this catches fire and spreads to more Western nations. What do you think? Do you think they have the right to ban people from smoking? Now, I understand banning them from locations like restaurants and public areas. I think it's insane that we used to smoke on airplanes as a kid. I remember as a kid smelling the fucking cigarettes in the back rows and just, you know, there wasn't a big deal. That's what we knew. People smoking in cars and on trains and planes and automobiles. However, you know, I don't know. This might be overstepping a little bit. Some people want to smoke cigarettes. People eat fucking too much ice cream, you know, and they get cancer. So I don't know. Copenhagen stock exchange fire. Spire collapses as historic Borsen engulfed in flames. This is reported by Reuters. A fire that ripped through Copenhagen's old stock exchange, one of the Danish capital's most famous landmarks, was brought under control on Tuesday. And that's just heartbreaking whenever a country loses a landmark like that. It reminds me kind of like when Notre Dame caught fire in Paris. That was devastating to me. The Independent reports, Russian soldier death toll hits 50,000 in Putin's meat grinder war with Ukraine. More than 50,000 Russian soldiers have been killed in Ukraine since the Kremlin invaded its neighbor more than 2 years ago. The number of deaths was nearly 25% higher last year than in the first 12 months of the war. According to the BBC, the broadcaster used graves, open source information from official reports, newspapers, and social media to confirm the deaths. Some 27,300 Russian soldiers died in the second year of the conflict as Moscow pursued its so-called meat grinder strategy of sending waves of cannon fodder troops to the front line to try to wear down Ukrainian forces and expose their locations. The true number of deaths is likely to be much higher because the analysis did not include the deaths of militia in Russian-occupied Donetsk and Luhansk in eastern Ukraine. And it's just a reminder that this war is still going on and that if war should erupt with Iran, at this point, I think Russia, Syria, China goes both ways, maybe arming both, or maybe they back China and because they're a part of BRICS. So, America, wake up! We're in trouble. Ukraine war, 17 dead in Russian missile strike on Chernihiv. More than 60, including 3 children, were injured in the attack, which hit an 8-story building in a densely populated area. The attack came hours after a report of Ukrainian strike on a Russian military airfield in occupied Crimea. Details have yet to be confirmed, although local social media channels shared video of an apparent fire on the airfield at Dazkanoy in northern Crimea. And that's today. So, just so you can see the regions here, for those of you that are watching, this area is close to Belarus, deep into the Ukraine, but not that far from the Russian border. Magnitude 6.6 earthquake strikes off Shikoku, that's in Japan. No tsunami warnings yet, but they have tons of earthquakes there all the time. Over 800 people evacuated as Indonesia's Ruang volcano spews explosive hot clouds. Looks like the Ring of Fire is acting up now. Hundreds of people in Indonesia have been forced to evacuate after a volcano in the North Sulawesi province erupted multiple times on Tuesday. Located in the Ruang Island, about 100 kilometers from the province capital Manado, erupted at 9:45 their time. It spewed lava and explosive hot clouds more than a mile into the sky, prompting authorities to evacuate more than 800 people from the region. I mean, that's a pretty intense volcanic eruption. This is reported by The Independent also. Speaking of the skies, Boeing whistleblower says he's at peace if something happens to him. This is reported by The Hill. Boeing whistleblower Sam Salafour appeared to tear up as he told the Senate committee he was at peace with his decision to publicly share his story. Quality engineer at Boeing, allegedly he was isolated and threatened after he flagged concerns that portions of the 787 Dreamliner fuselage were improperly connected as a result of the company's rush to address the bottlenecks in production, resulting in gaps that could lead to a premature fatigue failure. All right, these planes are dangerous, folks. Make sure you pay attention to where you're booking your flights, what type of plane they're on. I don't know if they've all been grounded yet, but they should be. We've seen the video circulating online of pieces just flying off in midair. Very dangerous. I need to double check my flight this week coming up and make sure that I'll be okay. Tesla started laying off 14,000 employees. It couldn't have gone worse. How you handle layoffs says a lot about what you value as a leader. This is reported by Inc.com. We should start by acknowledging there's no good way to lay off 14,000 people. There are, however, less terrible ways to go about painful process. Letting people know they will no longer have a job. You can communicate personally with employees. You can demonstrate empathy, and you can provide assistance to affected employees to ensure that the experience is a little less painful. On Monday, Tesla sent an email to employees saying it was laying off around 10% of its workforce, or roughly 14,000 people. On Tuesday, affected employees found out they no longer had a job. The whole thing went out about as poorly as you might expect for a company that sometimes seems to operate at the whims of its leader, Elon Musk. In any event, when you work in the corporate world, remember, you could be there for 20 years. I worked in the corporate world. You're expendable. Doesn't matter how good you are. They don't give a shit about you at all. Boston Dynamics unveils new Atlas robot for commercial use, reported by NBC. The robotics company is ushering in a new era with its fully electric humanoid robot designed for real-world applications. This is pretty cool. This thing is going to be, look at this, the way this thing just gets up, man. This is pretty crazy. So this thing is going to be used for commercial use. It's going to have all types of applications. And my friend, the robotic age is here. I Am Robot, Terminator, whatever the hell you want to call it. We are living in interesting times. Indeed, this is wild. This robot is wild. The company is moving full stream ahead with its newly fully electric iteration of Atlas and retiring its previously hydraulic powered model. At the core of the transition is Boston Dynamics' partnership with Hyundai, which the company credits for aiding and building the next generation of automotive manufacturing capabilities. In the months and years ahead, we're excited to show what the world's most dynamic humanoid robot can really do in the lab, in the factory, and in our lives. And I can promise you, it's going to cost you your job. About 7 out of 10 of you watching this right now, it's about to cost you that job. This guy right here is about to cost you your job in manufacturing. So they're telling us we should celebrate it. That would be like celebrating the firing squad right before you get executed. This is the future, my friends. You better find a way to be not obsolete. You better find a way to produce income, and you better not wait. You better start playing in the AI world. Do what you got to do, because they're coming for all of our jobs. We will own nothing and we will be happy. That wraps it up pretty much. I think I have another interesting story. This is sports. The NBA bans Raptors' Jonte Porter for gambling violations. Has been banned from the league after an investigation revealed he had disclosed confidential information to bettors, limited his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors, and bet on NBA games while playing in the G League. The NBA said in a release announcing Porter's ban that its investigation remains open and that it's sharing information with federal authorities. And this just shows you that corruption has plagued every aspect of life. It's always about greed. There's no integrity. You're making millions of dollars playing a sport that people dream they could do for a living. God gave you this beautiful gift, and you have to use it to fuel illegal industries, gambling, sports betting, and garbage. Speaking of garbage, NBC reports piece of space junk from International Space Station hits Collier County home. And NASA confirmed Tuesday that a 1.6-pound piece of hardware, that's crazy when you think about it, falling from the sky, that was used at one time with the International Space Station, hit home in Naples last month after surviving through the atmosphere. The agency did not release the exact address, That's a part of some equipment used to mount batteries connected to the International Space Station. When operational, the equipment weighs around 5,800 pounds. And I think as we've launched more and more satellites into space and these things become obsolete and fall back down, I mean, this might be a real concern to people, you know? It's enough we have to worry about hail and lava and hurricanes and tsunamis and crazy shit and lightning. Now I got to worry about space junk falling on all of us. My name's Beck Lover. This is the most interesting news around. These are all the stories. Stay tuned, guys. Drop comments. I love discussing with you. Make sure you follow me on X and anywhere, especially on my IG also. I have tons of followers. We have a great time. And I make a lot of content that's not on my YouTube or on my podcast. Check me out at becklover.com. That's BEKlover.com for all my links. Remember, folks, sometimes reality is stranger than fiction. I'll see you next time on the Beck Lover Podcast. Interesting time.